Today's scripture is from Luke 12, 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whose master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night and near dawn and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the reading of God for the people of God.
Before we get into the message today, I would just have a word of explanation because some people have commented to me. They've expressed worry because they say, Rev Kev, you're never without this. This is my friend, my handkerchief. Today, especially since our thermostats are not working in here, in some places it is 78 degrees, if you're wondering. We're working to get that going here. But I'm a pastor that just naturally runs hot. And I like to look at these moments of when the Lord is reminding me of my baptism and that I should be thankful. So that said, let us go to God in prayer. Lord God, it really is relatively cool in this place on this day. And maybe for some of us, this will remind us of old time church when there were no air conditioning. But Lord, we're thankful for all you provide. Mainly the warmth in each and every heart. Lord God, be with each of us now as we dive deeper into your word. That we might hear a word of grace. That we might be transformed to be grace shared with others. It's in great love to you, Holy One, that we pray. Amen. So I want to thank you all for the joy of being able to go on vacation for the past 2 weeks. It's great to be back. I just want to say that. I've missed you all. And I want to give a huge shout out to Lori Bruns and Reverend Mark Struckoff, who preached for me. If you haven't had the opportunity to listen to their messages, you're welcome to go online on our website or on our Harrisonville UMC YouTube site, and you can listen to their messages there. They were sharing some wonderful insights that were gleaned from Jesus and his followers as they were traveling that dusty road to Jerusalem. Now, Tammy and I, for the past 2 weeks, have had the great joy of being able to travel. We went down to Springfield and got to visit with family. We traveled into the wilds of Illinois. We stayed at an Airbnb out in the boonies somewhere. It really was beautiful. And actually, it was so cool outside. I stayed out on a porch all day. It was so wonderful. But we also, that was our trip as we made the journey to Chicago and spent a couple days with our son there. And then we took our son and our grandkids, Lena, who's going to be a sophomore in high school, and Finn, who's going to be in eighth grade, and we traveled all the way back to Harrisonville. And actually, we spent the week here. We showed them around here and let them know what Harrisonville living was all about. So it was a wonderful vacation. But I have to let you know that part of this vacation was work. It was work because I was able to complete a major project. Do you all have major projects at your home? Sometimes they're known as honey-do lists. Sometimes they're known as this just got to be done. Well, my project was to clean out 3 tall metal file cabinets filled with papers and other stuff. And friends, I have taken those 3 tall file cabinets, yay tall, filled to the brim with paperwork and stuff. And I have thrown out most of it, and now I have a stack of papers about this tall. Yay! This was all part of, see, now it's even making me perspire now thinking of all the work. See, this was all part of Tammy's and our plan to simplify things a little bit. But I got to tell you, it was hard work. It wasn't the labor of tossing all the paper. It was going through each of those papers and said, oh, I want to keep this. Oh, I can get rid of it. Oh, I want to keep this. That's really tough. And what I realized in going through those file cabinets and the boxes of stuff that they produced is just how much attached I am to stuff. How much we all are attached to stuff, because I know I'm not alone. You know, going through all that, I just realized it's like, how could this be? Why would I even care so much about all this thing that becomes such a hard thing to let go? We all have our file cabinets. Or maybe that's a difficult metaphor to think about. Maybe you don't have a file cabinet, but I do know something that you do have. And I'm going to be mixing metaphors today, so there that is. You all have baggage. My file cabinet just happened to be 3 big piles of baggage for me. And really and truly, all the stuff that we have, both physical stuff and the emotional stuff and the mental stuff, all of that we have bears a great burden on our hearts. And it's not just like having 3 big file cabinets. It's not just like having luggage. It really is like having luggage that each and every day we go up and down steep stairs, lugging all that baggage with us. Note to my son Nathan in Chicago, get an apartment on the first floor. Note to ourselves in our souls, we need to have an apartment on the first floor, and it needs to be filled with Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus knows we have this baggage. Because his disciples had baggage. And so today we hear some wonderful words from Jesus on how we all need to simplify. How we all need to let go and trust God. Let God. And how in doing that, then we are open to a calling on our lives. And that calling is to live a life that is open to the Jesus, the Son of Man, who is and who is to come. So what were Jesus' first words to his followers that we heard Ellen read today? Do you remember? Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid. Well, what would they have to be afraid of? They're with Jesus, right? What fears would they have? Well, in between last week's message from Reverend Struckoff about letting go of those things that bind us, right? And today's scripture, Jesus offers another teaching, which I invite you as homework to go and read. And this is a very familiar teaching that Jesus shares. 3 beautiful words. Do not worry. Do not worry about what you're going to eat. Do not worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your body. Look at what God is doing for the raven. He gives the raven a place to stay. He gives the raven food. Look at the lilies of the field. One of my favorite movies, by the way. But look at the lilies of the field and how God provides enough for those to be so beautiful. If God can provide for the raven and God can provide for the lilies and the grasses of the field, don't you know God's going to provide for you? So let it go. Don't strive for all those things that you're striving for. Don't get caught up in that. Don't start putting attachments on all this stuff that you think you need. Strive instead for the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little ones, little flock. I think we can begin to see where Jesus was having to address fear. Because we all want that saying of Jesus to be true, don't we? We don't want to worry. We don't want to be anxious. We don't want to have fear in our lives. But you know what? There's a lot of fear about out there in the lives that we're living, right? The bills need to be paid, and the money is tight. Our son, our granddaughter, they aren't doing too well in school right now. Got an F on that report card. My spouse just lost a job. There's all that stress and anxiety. Jesus teaches how we can do this. The disciples were similar in that way. We hear that all the time. There's James and John arguing about who's going to be on his right hand when he comes into his kingdom, right? A little friendly competition, not. There's Peter, who says, "You are the Son of the living God." And then he proceeds to act as if, "Well, no, you're not. We need to protect you." The disciples had their own stuff that they were dealing with. They had their own doubts. They had their own anxieties. They had their own baggage. They had their own file cabinets. So what does Jesus say? He says, don't let it get to you, because your Father, your God, wants you to have the kingdom. Wants you to be a part of the kingdom. Wants you to be a part of the reality that doesn't just happen after you are dead and buried and you go to heaven. It is happening right now when Jesus is with you. Jesus says, grab a hold of that. And then just to add craziness to everything, he adds those challenges. Your Father wants you to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. So go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor. So today at offering time. No. I think we all struggle with that, don't we? Because, like, that's our stuff. That's our money. And all the stuff that we buy is with our money. And as Reverend Struckoff talked about last week, we kind of buy into that myth of, if I just had a little bit more, things would be okay. Jesus issues us a challenge there because he knows this is the true life of the kingdom. Everything that you have is God's anyway. And, you know, you don't need to worry and stress about this. You can give willingly because if your heart is here, reoriented to me, then your Father will take care of all your needs. It's not like God is a cosmic Santa Claus. It's just that our hearts are reoriented in such a way where we're just not worried about all this material baggage that we have, all this emotional baggage we have, because we're giving it to God. One of the most awesome teachings, one of the hardest teachings that we have. But we can experience that life of the kingdom that allows us to do that. And how? Well, it revolves around what I think of as our words. We need to open our hearts so that we can reorient our lives around Jesus. We need to open our hearts so that we can recenter our lives around Jesus. Reorientation and recentering, well, those all come down to a big R word that has its own ecclesial baggage, and that is repentance. So I'm saying we need to repent. But repent isn't just about saying you're sorry.
Oh, sorry. I won't do it again. Oops, I did it again.
Repentance is a process. And it's simply a process. What repent means is to turn your life toward God. And friends, it's not a one and done. It's an everyday kind of thing. Cleaning out my file cabinets was, I realized, part of my act of repentance. Because I had let all this paperwork, three decades of church work that I never really looked at very much, 3 decades of Bible study plans, 3 decades of bulletins, 3 decades of newsletters, 3 decades of disciple Bible study manuals. How many of you have taken disciple Bible study? Those are thick. 3 decades of licensing school training stuff and even paperwork from when I went through licensing school. 3, you know, seminary papers, emails. You could see the development of the internet by the style that the email changed over time. Why would I do that? And so I went through all of that thinking, well, I just need to just let go of all this junk. But as I did, you know, it's like it was so hard because I really liked that attaboy that I saw in a staff parish consultation back in my first appointment. Or I really liked this stack of artwork from a person who lived on the street when I was at Westport. Or I really, really wanted to keep these cards that were given to me by a confirmation class at Good Shepherd up north. And it's like, but each item I had to pray about it and I had to let it go. And I still have this stack. And something tells me, especially after this message, I'm going to have to go through those too. Because it's just stuff. And what happens with all our stuff is that we put it places. George Carlin, the late comedian, says, that's why we own homes, right? To put our stuff in. He doesn't use the word stuff, but we all know what he means. We accumulate and we have all this stuff. And Jesus says, you don't have to live life like that. You can live life that's open. And you can start to let go of those attachments. Something else happens too when we reorient and we recenter, when we live a lifestyle of repentance, because it is a lifestyle. When we live a lifestyle of repentance, turning ourselves toward God, and that is our hearts open up to a calling from Jesus to always expect Jesus to be coming into our lives. I don't know if you noticed, when Ellen was reading, Jesus seemed to really jump topics. He's saying, don't be afraid. And then he starts talking about the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it, and we feel fine. Not really. And so it's curious, why would Jesus do that? And I really believe it's because Jesus is talking about when you are part of the kingdom of God, then that's going to go on forever. And you can live a life that's open to what God is. So he tells this amazing parable of these slaves, these servants, that need to be aware of the master's going to be coming any time. Be ready. And, you know, in a way, that could be a scary parable. It's like, gosh, do we have to be paranoid? Do we have to just really be always like this? What's going to happen if we not? Are we not going to be saved? I appreciate the insight of scholar Eric Thompson, who said it's not about that. This is a commission. This is a calling to just always be aware and awake to what God is doing in your life, Son of Man coming home, so that you can be a part of what they're doing, so that you can be a part of serving others. And how we do that is to live out that great commission, the great command, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, loving ourselves. And how we can do that, friends, and what we all need to do a better job of, is to really start to get out there and meet some new people. You know what I'm saying? It's not that the people that we surround ourselves are not great people. They are. We love them. But Christians are all, followers of Jesus Christ, are all about making connections, aren't they? So whether you're at Price Chopper, whether you're at the new bakery on the square, which I need to go to, maybe not, whether you go to the farmer's market, both at Milwaukee Mall or down at the square, whether you're in a hospital bed, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, in all places and at all times, we should open up our hearts to be able to get to know other people, to be able to know strangers. I'm saying this as a challenge to all of us, but also to me, because even though I'm standing up here preaching, I'm an introvert. When I'm in certain social situations, I like to sit and observe. But I need to talk to people because miracles happen when we get to know other people. I had an amazing conversation with a woman. I was at a seminar on Saturday on the 30th in Columbia, Missouri. I was sharing some testimony about our church, actually. If you want to know more, come see me. But I was talking to this young woman who was a pastor's wife, and we were having lunch together, and we started talking about the Holy Spirit. And we were just sitting there talking, and she shared this amazing testimony in tears where she said, you know what? I haven't been a part of a church for a long time, and frankly, I was really lost in a lot of things. You know, she had a lot of baggage, I'll just put it that way. She had a lot of stuff in her file cabinet. But she said, you know, I happened to go by a church, and then I ran into this one guy outside the church at like a coffee shop or something, and he just said three words to me: God loves you. And she said, it changed my life. She said, I don't know how many situations, people probably been trying to tell me that, but I couldn't hear it, but at that time, it changed my life, and so she became a part of a church. Jesus was central to her life. And it was so amazing just to see that. Don't you have stories about that too? People in your lives? If not, seek them out because they are real and they are there. Jesus makes a difference. We're here in this place not because it's a good social place to be, which it is, but it's because we love Jesus, and Jesus does miracles, and we are called to do those miracles. Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is here, but Jesus is coming. Yeah, I know that sounds weird, but that's what we believe. Jesus is here, and Jesus will come again. And we need to be ready. So friends, this is something that we can all be a part of. God loves us so much. How do we know? Because God finds great joy in offering the kingdom to us. And not only that, but when our hearts are alive and we're serving others with a servant heart, then we realize that Jesus is serving us and the joy and the wholeness that we experience. Didn't we hear that in the parable? that the master will gird his belt and serve? This is a hard thing to understand sometimes. You know, the very next verse, you need to read it, because Peter says this. Good old Peter with his baggage. Lord, is that parable for us or is that for everybody else? It's for everybody. Maybe so. May we simplify. May we let go and let God. May we strive for the things of the kingdom that the Father joyfully wants for us. And may we accept the mission, the commission, to live a life of expectant love, where Jesus is here always and will come again, and to share that love with others. And all God's people said, amen.